Hello, and welcome to the Responsive Family Sleep Podcast. I'm your host, Kim Hawley, holistic sleep coach, lactation consultant, peaceful parenting educator, and mom. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by all the conflicting sleep info, frustrated with sleep information that just plain felt wrong, or searched desperately for a truly gentle and responsive sleep approach, then you are in the right place. In each episode, we'll be answering your most pressing baby and toddler sleep questions, busting those sleep myths, and helping you understand truly developmental, biologically normal baby and toddler sleep, plus encouraging you to trust your intuition along the way. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. And this week's episode, we're talking about sharing nighttime parenting. I feel like this is a challenge for so many families, particularly those with exclusively nursing babies, but not only those with exclusively nursing babies, right? But nursing just adds an extra layer where, you know, feeding, sleep, nursing to sleep, not wanting to go long too long between feeds, that just all those extra layers and interconnected pieces when it comes to nursing babies. So sharing nighttime parenting is a goal of so many of the families I talk with. Like, how do we share this load more equitably? It doesn't seem to work, right? Or my baby only wants me at night. They don't want their other parent. They don't want my partner. They don't want anyone else soothing them around nighttime sleep. And that's, it's so common, and it's so frustrating as a parent, right? When you just want to support each other and help each other get more sleep. And this can be hard for both parents involved, right? When you are the primary nighttime parenting, it's easy to feel exhausted. It's easy to feel touched out. It's easy to feel resentful of the sleep that your partner is getting. And on the flip side, when you're the partner, when you're the parent who is not able to help, it can feel like you're like not able to support your partner, or it can feel like you're helpless, right? Like you just don't have the tools and you feel inadequate, right? And so it can be tough from both sides of the equation. Now, some babies with certain temperaments are much harder to work on both parents supporting sleep, particularly in some developmental phases, versus other babies. We just need to set the conditions up so that it's easier to make those adjustments and you can feel like you know what you're doing, right? All kids will get there eventually, right? So sometimes the answer is patience, and we will be doing a podcast episode, almost a blog post there. Sheesh, remember my medium, huh? I'll be releasing a podcast next week on what to do when your baby will just have none of it and you can't even out nighttime parenting. But in this episode, we're focusing on what can you actually do? Like, what are some ways to set you up for more equitable nighttime parenting? And so I think the most important thing to remember is it takes time. Right? Like, this isn't something that is going to fall into place instantaneously if you have months of it only being one parent or a kiddo who's really settled into their pattern. So it takes time. It can take consistency. It can take accepting it to take longer for sort of the not typical nighttime parent, right? It can take longer to settle them. It can take longer for them to fall asleep. It can just take more effort, right? Change takes effort, even if it's effort that is worth making for the big picture payoff, right? So it can take time. It can take more energy. And I'm not saying we push through and really stress out a baby here. That's not my style. That's not what I'm saying. But that we need to not also bail just because a baby is the teeniest bit fussed, right, by not getting the exact parent that they want, especially if the primary nighttime parent is really exhausted, is really burnt out, and we really need to give them some space. So remember that you're a parent and you are showing up and responding and loving and supporting your baby through upset if they're upset. And in some cases, that can be okay, right? If we really need to work on this. So we're not trying to stress babies out. We're not trying to push faster than they need to go, but we do want to be consistent and work on it if this is a goal of yours. But before we even get there, I think we need to back it up, right? And what we need to do is make sure that that parent and baby are having one-to-one time without the other parent around during the day, away from sleep. Because so often, particularly in the US, what happens, and I'm going to be a little heteronormative here, so please forgive me, it's just easier language-wise, is mom or the birthing parent has much longer leave. And if they're nursing, right, then they're feeding from their body and able to have a lot more hands-on time with baby. And their partner or dad or, you know, non-lactating parent is able to have less of that time because they go back to work faster, because they're not nursing, because gender roles and norms and all the reasons that mean that one parent tends to have more hands-on parenting time. And once we have people back at work and lives are busy, it can be hard to have one-on-one time, especially because you want to spend time together as a family, right? Like that's really understandable. So I often suggest the first place to start is just making sure you have one-on-one time together and not just in 15, 20-minute increments, but on the weekends, take a Saturday morning and have it be parent-baby time without the other parent around. The other parent can go have some self-care time, right? And that way you're together over several hours and we're in a situation where you might need to manage some upset and strengthen your own parenting soothing tools. And that's really helpful. So smaller chunks during the week, yes, but also try to make sure that weekly or more, if you can do it based on your schedule, you're getting a longer block of time together to build that bond without, you know, without the other parent around. And we really need to start there because sleep is vulnerable, right? We're not going to accept comfort from a parent around sleep if we're not having the experience of being comforted by them during the day and at other times. If the default is always to go, sort of the primary comforting parent tends to be the primary sleep parent. Now, we can also spend time with both parents in the bedtime routine, right? Bringing both parents, making sure they're both actively involved so that a baby associates both parents with falling asleep. It doesn't mean that you have to swap out who's totally doing the nighttime or the bedtime routine, but you can, right? We can absolutely practice having the baby fall asleep with either parent, but we can also just bring both parents into the bedtime routine, have them be actively involved in that settling down to sleep process. Another time you can practice sleep is the easiest nap of the day. And some babies will be okay with their, you know, one parent doing a nap and not at bedtime. So it can be like an opening, right? We have to find openings to create a foundation for a better response to nighttime parenting. So for some babies, you know, put them in a carrier, start doing a stroller walk, a contact nap. Whatever that easiest nap of the day is, for a baby napping, you know, 2, 3, 4+ times a day, it tends to be that first morning nap, but every baby is different, so definitely check in with your own baby, and that can be a nice way for them to experience falling asleep together. Another angle you could take is the first wake of the night, right? Starting off with the parent going in at the easiest wake to resettle, which is often the first wake of the night because sleep pressure is really high and they probably fed fairly recently. But also, again, judge your baby. Maybe there's a different wake that's actually really easy to resettle, and that's a good one to go in and have a parent who's not normally doing the nighttime parenting, go in and start there, right? With just one wake. And if your baby has a really strong feeding to sleep association, which is of course fine, right? Remember, that's normal. They can always go in with the bottle if you don't mind pumping some extra milk and having it on hand and trying to bottle feed to sleep at that wake. Otherwise, they can go in and rock, they can walk, they can sing, right? Like lots of tools that hopefully you have thought through, like what things does our baby respond well to that their other parent can do. Another thing to keep in mind that sort of circles back to the first point about it takes time and consistency is the consistency point, right? If we are sporadically trying to get a parent involved in nighttime parenting, it always kind of feels like the first time, right? It always feels new. And new things don't generally come easy for a lot of babies unless you have a really chill baby. And so sometimes we just need to commit to trying something over a bit of a longer period of time, assuming the baby isn't distraught, right? Like, obviously, we shouldn't push through if a baby's really, really stressed. But if a baby just is like, I don't like this, guys. I don't know. What's going on here? You know, like that, a little bit of fussing, and you feel comfortable, sometimes we need to push through because the first couple times you try something doesn't always go smoothly. And then once baby realizes, oh my gosh, I'm in my parents' arms, they're soothing me, it's okay, that parent kind of finds their groove and what works for them, which could look really different than what works for their partner, right? Then they're able to have more success, right? They're able to step in and have more success with the process. So I hope these five ideas give you some things to think about when it comes to bringing another parent into nighttime parenting. So, right, we want to make sure they're having time together during the day. You can try having them support the easiest nap. We can bring them into bedtime, right? Have them be more involved in bedtime. And we can try the easiest resettle. And then I think I actually gave six because I said we want to give it time, right? And we want to make sure we're trying it consistently so that you have a chance to gain some momentum and push through the harder part, which is starting something new. And if your baby is like, oh my God, you guys are like throwing me to the wolves. What is happening here? The lions are all going to eat me. This is not how we do night times. Then the answer might be, this is not the right time. Right? This is not the right time for this baby, for us to work on this, and we need to pivot and think about other ways to make sleep more sustainable. And that is what next week's episode is going to be about. So I hope to have you joining me then, and we'll talk about some tips around supporting each other when nighttime parenting can't be equitable. Thank you for joining me today. I hope this episode left you feeling more informed, confident, and encouraged on your sleep journey. And just a reminder before you go that nothing in this episode is individualized to your specific sleep situation, nor is it to be taken as medical advice. Take what resonates, ignore what doesn't, and check with your healthcare provider about any medical concerns. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast so that you'll never miss an episode. And take a moment to rate, review, or share an episode you love on social media. All of that helps parents just like you find me, this podcast, and this gentle and responsive sleep information. I'll see you next time.